do you think?
But it don't matter, clearly. Doesn't tear you apart anymore. Ooh, ooh.
Adele's so good.
All right, guys, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. I am Ben Alderman.
And I'm Blair Morrison. We are back in the original Beyond the Barbell studio.
Yeah.
Frigid as ever.
I know. This is not normal for us. We're usually either on the road now, or we've been up at your place. We've been out in the front room. We've been kind of moving around the studio.
Yeah, we got to get back to our roots, though. Getting a little too comfortable.
A
little too comfortable.
Speaking of being uncomfortable, you're saying that you're really sore. You're saying you're changing up your training a little bit. I kind of wanted to dive into that a little bit. I wanted to know, pick your brain a little bit.
You trying to get an extra edge?
I've always tried to pick your brain to get an extra edge, to get some more, you know, aerobic capacity. It hasn't worked. I just keep getting stronger.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's why you're a huge jerk face. but yeah, so I am a little bit sore, a bit sore. We've been doing a lot of strict gymnastics this last couple months to, you know, work on strength, but body weight strength specifically, you know, like strict pull-ups, strict handstand push-ups, strict muscle-ups, things like that.
Okay, before you go any further, why the emphasis on body weight? You know, like when you looked at your programming and you were, did you see a hole in it? Or were you like, hey, if I just got better at these gymnastics movements, then I would be at the next level? Like, how did you get to the point where you narrowed it down and you thought gymnastics was the thing that you needed to work on, or you needed your gym to work on?
Yeah, well, that's it's not specifically just for me. I mean, it's something I could always get better at. Like, strict gymnastics, I'm never, like, every time the deficit handstand push-up comes up in regionals, that's like one of my worst workouts, just because I'm so long and lean. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have a lot of pressing power. It was really more than anything for, it's what I saw that we needed on my team, you know, our gym. Like, the girls are not good at strict gymnastics stuff. It's just, it's something that doesn't get a lot of attention because you're permitted to kip, you know, 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, if we get to a regional level where you're not allowed to kip anymore, you know, that's going to be a big hole for us. And I think for most athletes, it's not something that in CrossFit is done enough. We kind of skip that step and just go straight to the more high volume kipping and more explosive stuff just to get more volume in. But it was a good time of year to work on things like that. And I honestly think that it will prevent overuse injuries if we are getting stronger. And that's not a new idea. You know, I think the official company line of CrossFit is you should be able to do, you know, some strict pull-ups before you start doing kipping. Mm-hmm. But in practice, that rarely happens.
Yeah. I think that I just had this conversation with one of my athletes this morning. You know, you said you were long and, you know, lean, and it's a tough, gymnastics is just tough, you know, strict movements especially. And if you're not going to forget how to kip just because you worked on strict, you might as well get stronger, get that more requisite strength, I guess.
Yeah, so that was the idea. So we've been working on that a lot. And then just recently, we train in either 6 or 8 week cycles of programming. And so we just turned over a new cycle of programming. And so I started adding in a little more volume with where we do a strict day. And then the second day of gymnastics training will be like more of a volume kipping day where, you know, we would do like a 10 minute EMOM of, you know, 10 chest bar pull-ups, or like the range is 5 to 10. The athlete gets to decide somewhere between 5 and 10. So there's a minimum volume of 50 and a maximum volume of 100 in that 10-minute span. So we did that with chest bar pull-ups. We did the 10-minute EMOM with strict ring dips. We did it with handstand walking for, you know, between 5 and 10 meters. And people just got so sore. Just so sore.
Primarily shoulders, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly. Primarily shoulders. And we're still doing, like, our regular lifting program where we're, you know, you do Olympic lift 2 to 3 times a week. We squat, deadlift, et cetera. The volume on those things hasn't gone up yet. We're kind of obviously staging in one bit at a time. But yeah, people's shoulders are getting, they're a little bit tight. You know, we've been doing a little more muscle ups now. We haven't been doing many muscle ups. And so we're starting to add those back in now that people are feeling a little stronger and like the results are there. They're getting better at doing more reps when they're tired. But the other thing that was kind of cool that we added was this this one big thing where, you know, as a coach, it's very difficult to program for a gym or a team or a group of people that require or need different things, right? So we have a general template with these gymnastics protocols in them, which was focused mostly on strict strength. Now we're adding a little bit of volume into it. But beyond that, each person kind of needs to focus specifically on a couple things, and really for us, one thing. So that's the one big thing. So for me, of all the gymnastics movements that might come up in CrossFit, I get to pick or I get assigned the one that I'm worst at. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's strict handstand pushups. Like I'm not great at muscle-ups, but I can hold my own. I'm not great at chest to bar pull-ups, but I can hold my own. When it comes to strict handstand pushups, I get buried. So my one big thing, anytime that shows up on the program, which is right now it's 2 times a week, but it's going to increase to probably 4 or 5 times a week. When that comes up, I need to make sure that I accumulate 100 reps of that one big thing in my training day. And it doesn't have to be, you know, 100 straight out. It can be 10 sets of 10 spread out through the day. But basically, I'm going to slow drip that movement into my program to make sure that I'm not neglecting it, that it's being paid attention to more than anything else. And each person gets to, you know, self-evaluate and maybe with the help of their coaches to decide what that is. It could be chest to bar pull-ups. It could be regular pull-ups. It could be muscle-ups. Muscle-ups, it's not 100 reps. It's only 30 reps. And if it's double-unders, it's probably more like, you know, 200 double-unders. But the idea is that you kind of focus in beyond the general template, I guess, on the gymnastic movement that you're really sucking at.
It gives an athlete a chance to kind of know their own body and go by feel, right? Like, because sometimes people have a hard time sticking with the program because they know weakness, and then they're like, oh, I'm not actually getting better at my weakness, right? So I think that sometimes for me as a coach, I have a hard time getting people to stick to something, and it's partly because I feel like they don't see the return on those weaknesses.
Right, and this is a very simple idea. Okay, so you're not good at this. Let's do more of it. You can run into some problems there. Like if you're not smart about, you know, repairing and taking care and really making sure you're ready to do another set of 10, mm-hmm. you know, chest bar pull-ups, you just jump up on the bar when you're cold and say, oh, I gotta get another 50 in before my day's out. And now you could develop some tendonitis or you could tear something, whatever. So you got to be careful with it. And, you know,
even just if you're overly tight, just some bad habits, right? Like
right.
It's not how you actually move. So,
yeah. So that's why we're only adding it in like 2 days a week in the beginning, hopefully to build up the tolerance for that much of one specific movement. And honestly, this is like just, this is specifically for competitive purposes. You know, like it's just sometimes the simplest answer is the right one. Like you're not good at this. You got to do more of it. And in order to not get hurt, you got to be doing more mobility, right? More stretching. And it just takes more time. So that's the biggest impediment to most of the athletes is, hey, how do I have enough time to do this right? Rather than trying to cram it all in 1 3-hour training session where it's really not effective.
I like the idea of the one big thing because, you know, a lot of times I have this conversation with an athlete, and the conversation goes a little bit like this. Like they come to me, hey, coach, I really feel like I need to get better at fill in the blank. And I'm like, all right, well, why don't you do this? And then they start doing it. Inevitably, they start getting worse at something else that they're kind of proficient at.
Right.
But I think the conversation needs to go a little bit further. And the reality is, what's your goal? Right. And you said it's for competitive purposes. Right. Well, if an athlete can look at themselves, their own athletic ability, their fitness, and they go, man, if I just had like just killer handstand pushups, I think I can go to the next level, whether that be next, you know, top 500 in the open in your area or top 400 in the open, or maybe you can make regionals or maybe from regionals to the games again, right? Or something like that. But people don't really always look at those things. Sometimes they are looking at, I need to get better handstand pushups. But then all they do is they keep metconning or they keep, you know, doing the same training protocol. But when you have something like the one big thing, it forces them to accumulate volume in the area that they need it. And they're still following the program, right? Even though one big thing is somewhat arbitrary, it's like it's still in the program, so you still have to do it.
Right. And the program, like say you Metcon and you do Diane, right?
Mm-hmm. That's on my program today, by the way.
Yeah. So say you do Diane, that's 45 handstand pushups, right? That would count towards your one big thing if your thing was handstand pushups. Mm-hmm. Even though they're kipping, it's like, okay, we're going to count that because that is in the movement family of what you're supposed to be doing for your one big thing. And it doesn't make sense for you then to go and do another 100 on top of that. So now you're doing 145 of that movement. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's, that could just blow you out for the next day, or it's just not very much. It's not very good return.
Right. And yeah. it keeps you more efficient with your time in the gym. Yeah. Right. And I think that's a big problem for a lot of people. And like you said before, like, okay, well, they need to do this to get better, and they know that, but mm-hmm. they end up just Metconning again because they say, hey, I only got an hour. I want to work out with the class. Mm-hmm. Right. That's why they end up just doing the GPP, mm-hmm. you know, and just kind of doing the general CrossFit Metcons and, mm-hmm. instead of getting better at the thing that they're worst at. And honestly, it takes a lot of time to improve at something that you're bad at. Like right. there's a reason why you're bad at it. Right.
Yeah.
It's not always the simple fact that you haven't done it before.
Right.
Sometimes you're just not built to do that movement. So
could you have you're 215 pounds. You have kind of short legs, giant quads. So you're not very good at running.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Like me.
I don't know who that is, but you know, it just takes a lot longer for you to overcome genetic hurdles than it does just, you know, hey, I'm not spending enough time doing it.
Wind resistance from my head. It's like a large surface and I'm pushing into the wind.
Right. Which is why on handstand pushups, you're so great. You have that gravity pulling you down to the floor.
True.
Easy. And it's actually not that far away.
So I feel like I'm trying to implement this one big thing in running. Like I really am. I feel like my cardio, I always tell people, like, you know, I don't really have that great cardio, you know, that great of cardio. But I actually think my cardio is pretty decent.
Right.
Like I feel like my metabolic conditioning is great. I feel like my aerobic capacity is actually pretty decent, mm-hmm. except for in running.
The specific movement of running.
Like the specific movement of running. So now it's like I try to run every single day, right? Like every day has either a running workout or a run in it, you know? So, I mean, except for my rest days, you know,
right.
Saturday ran 4 miles, didn't really do very great, but it was eight and a half minute pace, right? 8:30 pace, 4 miles, go for a run.
So this is an interesting idea. Cause I've thought about this a little bit. Like how do you take the idea of one big thing out of gymnastics and maybe apply it to weightlifting or mm-hmm. cardio or running, like you're saying? Because it doesn't necessarily, like I don't necessarily think it works the same in all different areas, mm-hmm. right?
This is good, because that's why I brought it up, the running, because I wanted to know what you thought about it.
Well, I'm interested to see how it goes for you, but running is, let's see, running is a way to train your engine, right? The same way swimming or rowing or maybe on the assault bike or something like that. But you said already your engine's good. It's just the specific movement of running that's difficult. So you're going to go out and run a lot. Running is a high-impact exercise, mm-hmm. right? Like if I go out and do 100 strict handstand push-ups throughout the day, if I spread it out right, there's not going to be that much impact right. on my body. But if you're going out and running, you can't do like a set of 10 here, a set of 10 there, and still tap into your engine like you want to tap into it, right?
Right.
Like running 20 200s is not the same as running a 4K.
No, not at all.
Right? It's not the same thing. And whereas I feel like where you can accumulate the volume in a movement like a handstand push-up or a pull-up over the course of 10 sets and still get some of the benefit, I'm not sure that works with running. I don't know. What do you suspect? I'm just talking off the cuff here, but
yeah, no, I agree.
You have to go run distance. You have to be on your feet for a long period of time in order to because it's not a strength set, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, yeah, if I run a bunch of 400s, 400s aren't hard for me, right? Like, with rest in between and whatnot, that's not going to work out. Like, oh, you ran four 400s, it's the same as running a mile. Again, it is running a mile, but it's not the same as running one long, relatively slow mile. And so I'm trying to learn how to do that. And so what I'm basically doing for me is I know the pace that I want to be able to run at in a workout, right? In, like, say,
right.
a 400-meter run and then a yoke carry. I know the pace I want to be able to maintain. So what I do is a lot of training at that pace, right?
Right? Exactly.
So I'm trying to run at that pace as much as possible. So if I do it with a med ball, then it's much shorter, right? If I do it with nothing, obviously I carry it for as long as I can. and just trying to push that threshold out a little bit. But one idea, a principle I got, and I'm sure I'll butcher it, but I got it from Hinshaw, is it's like if you want to run, let's say, a 6-minute mile, then you've got to do a bunch of intervals at that pace.
At that pace, right.
Right? That equal up to around a mile or so, you know, maybe longer, maybe a little bit shorter. I don't remember that part exactly. But then I also want to be able to run 2 miles at a relatively slower pace, so that way those lines eventually intersect. Right. Does that make sense?
So yeah. That your one body mile, needs to learn what it feels like to run at that pace before mm-hmm. you can run at that pace for a longer distance.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of doing, trying to do both those things right now. Because I feel like that's my one big thing. I feel like if I can figure out how to get my body to learn how to run, not even good, but good for me. You know, let's say if I could improve 25% over where I was last year, then I would be a much better athlete.
Yeah. So I think if you're a track athlete and you're working on really hitting a certain time, then you can kind of train it the same way, like Hinshaw said with the intervals. Hey, I'm going to run at this pace. I got my watch marking me. And I'm going to run, you know, 400s at a 6-minute mile pace until I can run a mile, you know, a 600 at that pace, until I can run an 800 at that pace, and I can build up to it. In CrossFit, that's one way to look at it, right? I want to run a certain pace so that I don't fall behind in a workout. But what I think most CrossFitters fail at in running is when they're not fresh. They're coming out of off of a set of squats or muscle ups or whatever, and they're already uncomfortable, and now they're trying to run at a pace that they're uncomfortable at because of the previous work done, not because their body can't physically do it. So it's like you need to, it's more like, I think it's more that you're trying to train your mental state during running rather than the actual speed that you can go. Like, I don't think you need to be any faster. I just think you need to be more comfortable running when you're tired, right?
Yeah.
Because that, for me, I'm a good runner, and it's because I ran a ton as a kid. In all my sports, I was always a running kid, and my body's built to run. So for me, it's pretty comfortable for me to go out and stride out, right, whatever pace it is, in my own mind, right? I don't think I'm much faster than a lot of other people. Like, you know, maybe I'm slightly faster than you are, but I'm much more comfortable running when I'm tired at that pace that we could both hold.
Right.
Kalipa's a great example. Dude does not run efficiently, but he's just comfortable running inefficiently when he's tired, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's why intervals on running in CrossFit doesn't necessarily translate the same way a set of 10 trying to build strength on a handstand pushup translates, because when I'm doing handstand pushups, I'm not trying to build my mental comfort with being tired in a handstand pushup. I'm trying to build strength.
Right. You're going to reach some sort of fatigue level that prevents you from keep going.
Exactly. But on a run, that's not really what I'm trying to train. I'm trying to train the mental comfort of, you know, being in the suck, but keeping my legs moving.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that's more of a mental thing than anything else.
And I think getting reps in for me helps that, because the more I run, the more I realize, oh, you're really tired, but you know what? You're okay. You don't have to stop running. Like, in order to recover, because once you start running again, it's just going to hurt again,
right?
Running, it just hurts.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of learning that, and it's helping me get better.
And you're probably picking up little tricks along the way. Like, what are you thinking about? Are you counting your steps? Are you syncing your breathing with your strides? Like, what's your trick? Like, when I feel really bad, like on a sandbag carry, I just count to 50 over and over and over again.
Right.
Just like start counting. And that like takes my mind off of what I'm pacing. And I keep moving the same amount at the same pace. And I just think about the number, right? And then eventually your body starts to like come back to normal. Mm-hmm. And then you can think about pushing the pace again.
Now, on a sandbag carry, that's a good example. Do you use a sandbag that allows you to maintain a similar looking stride as when you're running unburdened?
No.
No. So your stride looks very different when you're running with a sandbag.
Yeah.
Okay.
When you run with anything that's loaded, you got to shuffle stride to like limit the amount of bounce.
There's a girl in our gym who runs like a med ball, and she's a pretty small girl, but she can run. Like, she literally runs.
Well, a med ball, that might not be heavy enough to really impact the person.
Yeah, because I remember I watched you run with a med ball like a 5K. I think you did it in like 19 minutes. Something like that.
I think you're making that number up.
Well, whatever. It seems like it was like 19 minutes.
But yeah, a med ball, you could probably run pretty normal with a med ball. But if it starts getting over like 50 or 60 pounds additional. Like, now it's better just to not bounce and just kind of move
right
steady.
Okay.
But actually, you know what's interesting? We've done some Spartan wads the last couple months, and a lot of them have sandbag carries in it. Mm-hmm. My run feels unburdened, feels better right after I do the sandbag run.
Right.
Because it kind of forces you to really concentrate on your breathing, try to stay relaxed. You're not moving that fast because really the pain is in your shoulders, not your legs.
Right.
And then once you let it off, you feel super light, and now you can really move and open up, and it almost feels better than like a fresh run. I don't know if that makes any sense, but
no, totally. I'm sure it like primes the nervous system in some way too. You know, makes you just feel a lot better.
That's probably good just to alternate back and forth between those two. If you're doing like, hey, I got to run 4 miles today, you know, run 800 burdened, 800 unburdened for four sets.
So what is this, these Spartan wads? And just for everybody listening, Spartan wads, if you don't follow Blair on Instagram, that's number one, you're bad. But number two, it's longer workouts. Basically, they incorporate a high volume running. I'm like looking at these things. 2 miles of running in a Spartan wad is actually on the very, very low end, right? It's looking more like 3 to 4 miles of running if you get through the entire thing, plus a bunch of other lighter movements. So you're doing Spartan wads once a week minimum, right? And then you're doing what you're calling GBB or gymnastics bodybuilding, right? 3 times a week or 4 times a week, right? 3 times a week. And then how do you feel like that's affecting like other things? Like if you look at like a just a normal CrossFit Metcon, like what does that do to your Fran time? What is it doing to, you know, your 8 to 10 minute Metcons?
So the Spartan stuff, that came about because we had some people, including myself, that wanted to do some Spartan races. And it's like a different type of time domain, right? Mm-hmm. If you even do the shortest distance, it's like usually about, you know, 3 to 5 miles, mm-hmm. and it takes 40 minutes to an hour. Mm-hmm. So we came up with a way to try to simulate that where you run, because it's the majority of it's running, and then you come inside and do some obstacles, you know, air quote obstacles, where maybe it's deadlifts, maybe it's pull-ups, and then you're back out on the run. And the obstacle shouldn't take, you know, more than 30 seconds to a minute. So the majority of the time is definitely spent running. And like you said, the distance could range anywhere from, you know, 2 miles on the short end to maybe 4 or 5 miles on the long end. The big advantage of that, I think, to CrossFit is it builds people's aerobic base kind of unwittingly. You don't feel like you're doing just a straight 5K run, which everybody just resists because they don't want to go out and just run for that much.
Right.
Unless you enjoy running. But more and more, I'm realizing that's a minority in the CrossFit community.
Right.
So I get my people in my gym that are just loving doing them, and I'm like, you guys don't realize you're running like 3 miles, but it feels more interesting to them.
And, right.
And the effect is pretty much the same. Like they're at a steady heart rate the entire time. They get into that runner's high, you know, 8 to 10 minutes in.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that's so demanding on the, you know, your glycolytic pathway that you really have to deviate out of your aerobic mode.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause all the weights are light. If we do them, maybe it's like a couple rope climbs, or it's the obstacles are not that metabolically challenging.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about staying even and moving just the way you would want to train your aerobic base. So I see that benefiting a lot of people on our team and our gym when it comes to the Metcons that last 5 to 15 minutes.
Right.
Right. Because once you get past that initial Fran sprint phase, right, you need to be able to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be able to work while you're breathing and to be able to regulate that. And that's what running does. You know, it teaches you how to breathe when you're tired. It teaches you how to work when you're tired. So these longer workouts build the base, build the reps of that system, mm-hmm. you know, your aerobic system. And it translates into more comfort in a open style 5 to 15 minute Metcon. So good example. In addition to these other things that we're training, we're doing like open workouts once a week, you know, on a Monday. And we're doing like right now we're in the middle of 2013. So we did last week we did 13.1. This week we did 13.2.
Is that the 5, 10, 15? Is that 13.2?
13.2 is the 5, 10, 15, a shoulder to overhead deadlift.
I hate that workout.
And that's when you're back locked up, right?
I hate that workout.
So basically, we've been doing these, and the response that I'm hearing from most of our athletes is that where it used to be their wind, was what was slowing them down. That's not the case. It's either a specific movement or they're uncomfortable, like there's too many deadlifts or, you know, things that we haven't really trained yet, a lot of, like high volume deadlifts, like, or box jumps, right?
Right.
That's what's slowing them down, but it's not their heart rate, which is a huge win in my eyes, because that's the biggest, the most important thing in CrossFit, right? It's like, how do you train your engine? Everybody's trying to get a bigger engine. So like for me personally, that's not something that I usually have to focus on, but I'm kind of doing it anyways, just right. doing the program. I had to do the 13.1 last week with the snatches, mm-hmm. right? Snatches and burpees. And I got, what did I get? 29 reps on the 165 bar.
What is that weight for the women's bar? 165 and the opposing weight is what?
It's like 100.
Okay.
It's like really light. It's not.
Yeah.
The women's weight is skewed on that workout for some reason.
Okay.
That was better than I ever done before. And I felt better at the end. Mm-hmm. Right? Like I didn't feel, I didn't push it. Like I could have, if it was a real open workout, I would have done some doubles at the end, gotten through it, finished my burpees and you know, maybe not have gotten anything at the 210, but you know, that's better than I'd ever done before because it was just, I was in a better cardio place.
Right.
And that's the case for a lot of people. And so I think these longer workouts, the Spartan wads are a nice way to include those without just going on a straight run or a 10K row or getting yourself into that aerobic place where you're kind of monitoring your breathing and your heart rate. Mm-hmm. It's more interesting and it's kind of fun. And
yeah.
there's moments in it where you can push a little harder and then back off a little bit. So I feel like that's benefiting our athletes a lot in those areas.
So I came up with a workout and it was kind of Spartan-ish and I just needed to get some running in. And I was like, well, same kind of mentality because I've been seeing the Spartan ones. I didn't know why you guys were doing them exactly. I mean, I knew you guys want to do Spartan races, but the idea of just breaking my running so it wasn't so monotonous.
Yeah.
So it's run 400 and then 20 kettlebell snatches with the right arm, run 400, 20 snatches with the left arm, run 800, 25 overhead squats at 95, run 800, 25 front squats at 95, run one mile, 30 bench press, 135, run a mile, 30 bench press at 135.
Yeah.
Is that Spartan-ish or?
Yeah, super exactly okay. like that, yeah.
Cool. All right, I'm figuring this out.
Yeah, because you get inside and the weight's not heavy. Right. You're not going to have to take a lot of breaks. You can try to push through, do it unbroken on everything,
yep.
which is great. And then you're back out on your run, trying to recover on the run almost. Right?
Okay.
Have you done that one yet?
No. I said I'm supposed to do that tomorrow.
Oh.
So.
That's great.
I'm excited about that. No, today is.
What's your time cap on it?
I don't have a time cap.
You're just going to do it till you're done?
Yeah, just do it till I'm done.
Yeah.
Because I want to learn the pacing on those mile runs, mm-hmm. you know, as the run gets longer.
Right.
So what I'm trying to do is the 400-meter run is I don't want to pick a pace that's much different for that than I do for my 800 or my 800 for my mile. Right. So hopefully running at a pace that's kind of consistent so that I'm learning that pace, but unless I should do something different.
No, that's great.
Okay. Good.
I remember the first time, like that's the only running that we do. It's pretty much once a week running, unless it's a short sprint like a Helen or something. People are getting noticeably better at that. Mm-hmm. Just being able to work for that long because you don't really do that much unless it's a hero wad usually, right?
Right.
So initially it was bad. Like I made it through, I think we had a 40-minute cap on a workout and by 20 minutes I was like, dude, I'm done, man. Like I got no more gas in the tank.
Right.
And of course you kept going and just was a crappy last 20 minutes. But now it's like I feel like I have gas in the tank for as long as I need to go, mm-hmm. you know, up to maybe an hour and a half or so. That's a whole nother thing. But
so do you feel like you're going to do better in the open this year than you did last year at this point?
Yes, I do. I do. Last year, if you remember last year, remember in Wodapalooza, I had a weird elbow thing happen?
Yeah. Was that with the bone fragments?
Yeah, it was like an old bone
spur. But you had
spur.
Not figured out what that was at that point.
Right.
You were just kind of like stimming it.
Right, tight, yeah. and it was mm-hmm. kind of flaring up, flaring down. So I didn't get to do a lot of pull-ups mm-hmm. and things like that hanging from the bar because that was still difficult.
Right.
So I felt a little bit underprepared for the open last year, and right now I'm feeling hopefully that's not the case. But in general, yeah. I think our training is better. I was telling you off the air, I'm really like feeling a good motivation place right now to mm-hmm. train hard. We got a lot of fun people to train with right now. Like that are really.
Are you scared of a lot of guys at my gym?
Scared? I'm sure scared's the right word. They're kind of, they smell scary.
I'm just kidding.
What about you? Do you feel like you're going to be, I mean, obviously you're recovering from your shoulder, but.
Yeah, so my recovery, I mean, I've talked about it before. It's going a lot better than what doctors had said, and even my physical therapist, and even some of my other therapists, and honestly, sometimes even myself. So I've had a couple of scary setbacks where I jumped in and did things ahead of time and probably shouldn't have. But I have to believe I'm going to be better this year. I really do. I mean, I don't think that my training is better, number one. My nutrition is better, number two. And I'm learning more and more. You know, every day I feel like I'm learning something new. You know, even sitting here having this conversation with you, you've been dealing with a more competitive gym. Like, your gym's been more competitive at the regional level. And you've been more competitive as an athlete at the games level, regional level, than I've been for longer. Right. So I'm learning, you know, hey, how do you deal with your rest weeks? How do you deal with your programming? How are you dealing with, you know, what strict strength right now when we're talking about these things? And so, and they're things that I'm already starting to kind of think about. But when you can add framework and a little bit of boundaries to your thoughts, it helps, because you can, then you can start implementing it, right? Rather than being some sort of obscure idea. Right. It's like, hey, you need to get better at running, or you need to get better at gymnastics movements, or why are some of the athletes on your team, whether it's guy or girl, because I've got two guys or one guy right now who struggles with overhead strength big time, and I got one guy who struggles with not overhead strength but pressing strength. So we'll just say that's slightly different, right, than just struggling with just any snatch or jerk.
Right.
I've got girls who are improving in every capacity, but yet their lifts don't really move, right? They're almost stuck. Like since last year, they added like 7 pounds to the snatch. You know, it's like, hey, It's not like they're already snatching 200 pounds, right? They're snatching 115 pounds, you know,
right.
And you've only added seven. It's like, that's...
Yeah, dude, that's a good point, because we talked about improving gymnastics weaknesses. We talked about a little bit about improving, like, running.
Mm-hmm.
But improving stuff on the barbell is, I mean, that's like one of those... It's one of those things that everybody out there is doing. That's like their number one priority. How do I get stronger...
Yeah.
Moving heavy weight, right?
Right.
And not just my max lift, but how do I, and we talk about this for me.
All the
time, right?
Yeah.
But like specifically, you mentioned girls who, you know, the weights just don't seem to move. And we got a lot of girls that aren't competitive at our gym that want, they just want to be able to squat more. They want 65 pound thrusters to feel better. And so like, okay, they go on a squat program and it doesn't really do that much.
No.
And this is one thing that I suspect. And you can tell me what you think. I think to get stronger, you really got to eat.
Yeah.
Like, I think you really got to eat. If you're going to move a heavy object like, and you're not filling your tank, which, I mean, I don't want to generalize, but a lot of the women that I talk to, I mean, they're very conscious of what they eat.
Right.
They want to have a lean look, and they want to they don't want to be strong at the expense of, you know, the rest of their aesthetics or their wardrobe, right?
Yeah.
But man, if you're not eating carbs, like, you're not going to be strong.
No.
Like, this is just the way it works.
And I think that's true, because there's a lot of women out there that, you know what, throughout the day, probably when they're at work or when they're at home with their husbands or you know, out with their boyfriends or whatever, all they want is for somebody to just notice how beautiful they are, right? Most women are like that. And I feel like, and I don't think that's bad. I'm not saying that's bad. As men, we appreciate that. You know, like when our wife or our girlfriend at the time, now wife, looks that way. You know what I mean? But when they're in the gym, they're just like us. They're competitive, right? They want to see improvement. So when they're in the gym and they come up to you and they're like, hey, Blair, how do I get a better squat? These thrusters are just killing me, or, you know, this, whatever. Right then and there, they 100% mean that question.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But when they get out and it's time to go eat and they get an iceberg lettuce salad and a sparkling water and that's their dinner, you know, they are 100% concerned with the aesthetic part of their look.
Right.
Right. Rather than you saying, okay, well, the reality is you need to be eating around 200 grams of carbs a day, right? And training 5 days a week, and, you know, maybe putting in an extra 20 minutes every day after class working on some sort of positioning, whether it's, you know, in the squat, you know, whether it's a movement like the, you know, or reverse hyper, you know,
right?
You know, you need to be putting those things in, but you also need to be putting the right, then they're like, and they really want to hear that.
Absolutely.
But then at work, that's not what they're thinking about.
Right. And I think that goes – I think it goes the same way for a lot of men as well. Like guys want to – they don't want to have a beer belly, right? But they want to be able to squat 300 pounds.
Right.
So it's like, okay, you want to lean out your stomach. You know, you want to, you know, look better for your wife or, you know, in the mirror for your own ego or for whatever it is. Those are all legitimate things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you want to get stronger. You can't starve yourself, right? You got to eat. And it's not, and then it's not pizza and beer that's going to get you stronger, right? It's like the right foods at the right times. We talked with RP Strength, you know, a month or so ago about collecting your carbs around your training times. And I think that's a really smart way to look at it. Like, hey, if I got to get my 200 grams in for an average female, right? When am I going to get them?
Right.
Like, think about that. That's a little sophisticated, but not really.
Right.
You know? Like I've since we had that that episode, like I know I need to have more closer to like 300 or 400 grams of carbs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm getting them in at the right times. Like I'm putting them around my training times, and it's helping a lot. I feel a lot fresher, and I feel stronger. So I think that's a huge piece of the puzzle when it comes to the strength. I don't think you can just squat more and have a bigger squat.
No,
the way you can just, you know, do more handstand pushups and be better at handstand pushups because. You know, the gymnastic stuff, yeah, it's difficult. It's a strength movement, but it's not a full system movement. It's kind of specific areas. You know what I mean? I think it's slightly different.
The other thing is if you're in a Metcon, you might be tired from the burpees and the pull-ups you did. Then you go over to do a thruster at 65 pounds, and you do seven of them, and you're really sore the next day. But you did seven thrusters.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you didn't get a better squat. Like, you didn't get, you know, you didn't build a bigger butt. Like, you didn't build better quads. Like, you did seven thrusters. Yeah. And you were smoked because you did, you know, 100 pull-ups, 100 burpees, and you're moving on to your 100 thrusters, and the time cap ran out after seven thrusters.
Right.
You know, that's actually a pretty good workout.
That's a good workout, yeah.
But, you know, it's the same kind of thing. And I think that women and men do share that commonality where they just, like, in the moment, they really mean the questions they ask you.
Yeah.
You know, they're not doing it to appease you. They already pay their membership to us, right?
Right.
They really want an answer. They just hope that it syncs up with all the other maybe ideologies that they have about how things work.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I think that's – I like that. This is a good conversation, kind of distinguishing how you can specifically improve, how it's a little bit different for different, you know, areas of your training.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I'm having to deal with now – this is a quick little side note. Like I struggle with my clean, especially at heavier weights.
Right.
And I've improved my technique. I've backed off, you know, worked on things. And I'm realizing what it comes down to a lot of times is I have a crappy front rack. So if I don't catch it perfectly, I'll fold.
Right.
Or, you know, I'll have to work too hard. I'll push my hips out of position to make up for a crappy front rack.
Mm-hmm.
And all that is mobility. That's just tight lats, tight triceps. Right.
Yeah.
And just spending time in between reps, like rolling that out.
Yeah.
Makes a big difference. And I think with gymnastics, with lifting, especially if you're going to do more work, you have to remember that you can't get stronger in poor positions.
No.
That's going to cause injury.
Right.
Right. And we talk all the time with, you know, with K-Star about tread on the tires and, it's like, yeah, you have so much tread on your tires if they're out of alignment.
Yeah.
Or why can Rich train so often when, you know, other guys break down?
Mm-hmm.
Because he moves so efficiently.
Right. Right.
And that's something that the average CrossFitter doesn't want to spend a lot of time doing. Or if they do, it's very nonspecific.
Right. It's so general. They're just like,
roll.
I rolled my quads.
Yeah.
I rolled my lats. I, you know, whatever.
Rather than understanding, okay, so like your guy, overhead strength is not great.
Right.
Be willing to bet his overhead position isn't good either.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
Like if you have to catch a split jerk with tight lats, it's so hard.
So
because
hard.
Because every time you drop under the bar, your torso is going to arch.
Yep.
Now your spine is not stacked, so the weight feels heavier.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee your elbows, they want to bend.
Yeah.
So every time you catch a bar with tight triceps or tight lats, you get under it, your elbows cushion, and now you have to press it out before you can stand up.
Exactly.
Like, you see that all the time, right?
All the time.
So rather than just doing more split jerks, which, hey, maybe you need to do, or more pressing, like, hey, I'm not strong enough. Dude, maybe you are strong enough. You just can't stack.
Literally put a lacrosse ball into your lat or a foam roller across
every
your
day.
Lat.
That's something you could do every day without damaging anything, right? So, like, that's, like, very specific mobility. And, you know, it takes a coach's eye that knows what you're looking at, obviously. But, you know, that's
but you
kind of
know.
Piece.
Sometimes when people train that much, they kind of know, too. They're like, man, I can do all this stuff. But when I go overhead, like, even with nothing overhead, my spine and my chest, my spine arches and my chest sticks out. It's like, okay, well, for a lot of people who are training a lot, they actually get it. You know what I mean? And so it's just a matter of addressing it.
But why don't they do it?
Well, that's a good point. I think that it kind of maybe even goes back to all those other things. Like, you kind of feel like just by doing things, you should be better at them. Like, doing the big part rather than dealing with the little part, you know? Why am I not going to the CrossFit Games? Maybe not. Don't keep doing regional workouts over and over again. Maybe focus on your running, or maybe focus on your deficit handstand pushups, or, you know, whatever. So I think it might be the same thing. People just don't like focusing on that little thing because it kind of, it singles you out a little bit, right? You're not, everyone's rolling their lats, right? Everyone is running every single day, right? And in the wintertime, nobody's running every single day. You know, it's like nobody really wants to. So, you know, to touch on the point you made about Rich, how he moves so well, that's why he can do Metcons every single day and all the time. And he does lift, but let's just say he didn't do a lifting program. He would still get stronger, I feel like, because his positioning is so good, right? Like, hey, you just did, I don't know, heavy Isabel or at 225. Your snatch went up, right? Because you're Rich Froning. But if you're somebody else, and your positioning is bad, you're chasing the bar all around, you catch in different positions, right? Did your snatch go up any when you do Isabel at 225? Maybe not, right? It might not actually get stronger. Right. But then if you look at somebody like Jason, we brought him up, Jason Kalipa, he doesn't move like Rich, right? He doesn't even move like I do. He doesn't move like you do. He moves very, very differently. There's an inefficiency in the way he moves, but he's also a large individual. Like, he is, his bones are bigger than ours, his elbow joints are bigger than ours, you know, and mentally he's probably twice as tough as us mentally sometimes.
Yeah, definitely.
But you don't see guys 40 pounds lighter than him at his level, right? Because you can't move like that at that size at 180 pounds versus 220 pounds and get away with it at the loads that we're using these days at the CrossFit Games or even at the regional level, right? You don't see guys able to overcome their movement deficiencies with size and strength and grit at 180 pounds. You only see that really with Jason, I feel like.
Right, because he's the reason why you only see that with Jason is because he's the only guy that's that big with that big a motor to overcome
Absolutely.
Those things, right?
Yeah.
He's, like you said, he's mass moves mass, you know, when it comes down to it. And he's got a lot of mass, and he's got enough technique to overcome, you know, the heavier loads. Mm-hmm. But he's not gonna win those workouts. The reason why you don't see more guys kind of muscling through things at the CrossFit Games anymore is because most of the guys that muscle through things don't have big engines.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And Jason has that, like, in spades. He's got one of the biggest engines out there, and he works hard to have that.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, sometimes his the ratios of his body, right, his arm length, he's got long arms. They make him look at times like he's not moving as efficiently as he is, but he still does move a lot more efficient than most of our CrossFit athletes. You know
what
I mean?
He's not bound up.
No, he's not bound up. He moves okay.
Yeah.
I think that we're getting close to all the time we have, but what's a big takeaway for somebody if they're listening to this and they're listening to, we've been all over the place in terms of programming, you know, adding in strict strength, focusing on your engine, running more, you know, what do you feel like the big takeaway is for somebody who's listening to this?
Well, I think it seems like what we've been talking about most today is how do you improve one thing in your training, right? If you know you have a specific weakness, like, can you target that and get rid of it, you know, simply by doing more of it, right? And that's kind of, that seems like what we've been talking about. I think it's, the takeaway is that it's different depending on the weakness. So if it's a gymnastics weakness, I think you can target it and improve it by simply doing more of the weakness. As long as you're doing it, you know, smartly and not wearing out your elbows or wearing out your shoulders, right? So that with increased volume comes increased upkeep.
Right.
Right. Especially for the gymnastics movements and upper body strength. Mm-hmm. And you have to be patient with it. It's going to happen over time. Like we're going to test this thing out with our gymnastics version of it with my team. We'll see how many weeks it takes us to see real improvement. I think when it comes to the engine work, if it's running, like you said, it's more about the mental conversation that you're having and feeling comfortable and learning how to breathe and recover during a run is going to translate directly to, you know, those mid-range Metcons that we see in the open.
Right.
So I think that's something that's very easy to feel the difference. And I don't think it takes necessarily as long as it would take to say build, you know, overhead pressing strength or, you know, something like that. And then when it comes to strength, you can't, people just by doing more of the movement, if you're ignoring how much you're eating or how much, you know, mobility that you're doing in your positions, you know, you could be, like you just said, you could not be getting any stronger because you're moving so poorly.
Right.
And that's really frustrating.
Yeah.
That's really, really frustrating. And I think the frustration that comes from putting in the work and not seeing the results, that's universal to any one of these domains that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And that's not what you want to see for your athletes. So I think the big takeaway, having said all that, is to know exactly which area is your one big thing. Mm-hmm. What is the thing you most need to focus on? Because this, you can't apply this to multiple things at the same time.
Right.
Well, at least within the same domain. You can't be trying to get better at handstand push-ups and then also be doing chest to bar pull-ups and also be doing, you know, 500 double unders a day. Like, you're going to get hurt.
Right.
So I think knowing that, whatever it is, and targeting that for like higher volume, that's what you need to do first of all and be honest with it.
Right.
And then second of all, make sure that you're not missing, you know, you don't have a blind spot like, hey, I can't get my hands over my head. So doing a bunch of split jerks or a bunch of handstand push-ups isn't really going to help me. Mm-mm. Or I'm never eating any carbs. So doing a bunch of a heavy squat program probably isn't going to help me, you know?
Yeah. I think that like a lot of people, their mind is full with everything they have to do, you know, in their normal everyday life, you know, whether it be, you know, running down a bunch of kids, you know, taking kiddos to practice, school, whatever, running their businesses, running their lives, you know, keeping up with bills, going to work. And then you have people who come in and they have a really hard time knowing exactly where they're at in their training. You know, they don't know what they're not sure if they've eaten enough food that day. They're not sure what their real weakness is. They're not sure what they want to attack. And they just kind of come in. And this is more for the person who really wants to get better at CrossFit, the sport, or functional fitness, the sport. Like, you have to have enough mental energy to be able to remember those things. And if you don't, you got to be able to start writing them down. You know, because for you and I can kind of go back through and I can ask you what you ate yesterday and how you felt and how you slept and, you know, how many reps did you do to build up to your 245 snatch? How long did it take you? About what did you do in between? And you know what? That's not even that hard for you to remember. Like, that's right. Normal and natural for you to remember. Where somebody who's running in here and trying to get everything done, you know, they don't know which weights they missed. They're not sure how many lifts they took before they got to their one rep max. They don't know, you know what I mean? They're not sure if they're wearing knee sleeves or lifters or vice versa or not or any. You know what I mean? They don't know these things. And so it's really important for an athlete to be able to know themselves fully. And if you can know yourself fully, how many carbs you're eating, how much sleep you're getting, you know, what type of protein you take and when, what you normally have for breakfast, how many reps it takes you to get warm in this, and you know what your weaknesses are, then you can ask that question, you know, what's the one thing that I need to work on to make everything else that much easier?
Yeah, I think you're right. Like self-organization.
Exactly. You know, and this is not the main priority for everyone. For you and I, getting better athletically is very close to one of our top priorities.
Yeah.
Right. And not because we are just super vain or whatever, but because our jobs or our livelihoods are highly correlated with our athletic development. Right. And at least being cognizant of where we're at, whether we're on the up or down, doesn't really matter as long as we have something to offer and to continue to get better at. But if we're kind of haphazard about it, that's not very good. But so somebody who wants to get better, if they're a little haphazard in the way they approach things, it's not good.
Yeah. And I think consistency and commitment is something that goes hand in hand with every sport or every job that's done well. Like, people have to be consistent for something to work. I mean, CrossFit, originally when CrossFit was first coming up, people didn't really understand that because, hey, it's constantly varied. We're never doing the same thing. We're decidedly inconsistent. That's not really the case. You're consistently training. You're working out every day. So yeah, you're going to be getting a lot fitter. Like, that's the consistent strain of CrossFit as a, you know, fitness program, is that you're always working out. For the sport right now, if my short-term goal is to improve my handstand pushups, because that's my biggest weakness, my one big thing, like, I got to be able to do it for a consistent amount of time. So if you can do that, how can you be consistent with one big thing or one big weakness if you can't organize the rest of what's going on in your life? I think it's a great point that you bring up. I think that I heard somewhere that it takes 66 days to create a new habit.
Right.
Right. I know it takes about 6 weeks for your body to change metabolically, right? Your hormones and your metabolism to kind of adjust to a new diet or whatever. So these things take a lot of time. It takes a lot of time. So if I'm going to get if I'm going to create a new aptitude or some sort of adaptation with my strict pressing strength, it's going to take time. And I got to know that. And I got to stick to it. And I'm going to try this program out, right? I'm going to do 2 days a week for the next 3 weeks. And then I'm going to go 3 days a week after that. And so now I'm increasing my strict handstand pressing volume by 200% in the beginning. And then it's going to go up to 300% like that. Mm-hmm. And hopefully by the end of, 8 weeks, I have a whole different capacity for strict handstand pushups.
Right.
So long as I don't hurt myself. Right. Yeah. And I think if you take that idea of consistency and apply it to someone who's just trying to get to the gym every day, mm-hmm. and be, more fit, maybe not necessarily an athlete, but if you're not coming in every day or 4 out of 5 days, one day, then it's 4 days, like, how is that habit going to form? Right. How much is your fitness really going to improve?
The habit that you're actually reinforcing at that point is inconsistency.
Exactly.
That's what's really happening there.
Right. Or if you are on a squat program and you're eating 200 carbs one day and then 50 the next day and then 75 and then 200, like,
without reason, right? There might be a reason to do that, right? And let's say you're trying to experiment with 200, 75, 50, but what you're saying is
it's haphazard. Not planned.
Yeah, you're like, "Oh, I had a busy day and, I couldn't do it, so I'm just going to come in here and squat." And you're like, "The stimulus isn't even the same."
Right. And there's a certain amount of science in athletics, mm-hmm. right? I mean, not to the nth degree, but yeah, like, you got to know what's working and what's not working. And if you're never the same, you're never organized, how do you know if it's actually working or not?
So before we go, what do you think? No, it's not, how do I want to say this? How many deficit handstand pushups would the buy-in have to be on our mile run for me to win the workout?
So buy-in, how big is the deficit?
Let's say 245, so what is that, 8 inches?
Is it strict?
Strict. Let's go strict.
Because if it's kipping, I don't think it would have to be a lot.
It would have to be like 50.
I'm pretty good. Like, we've been doing a lot of deficit, like strict, like eccentric down, kipping out. I'm feeling pretty good on those. All right, so if it's a 245-pound plate deficit, that's like a 6-inch deficit,
okay,
right?
6-inch, yeah.
6 or 7-inch deficit.
6 or 7, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
And I'm probably going to run at this point my best mile, right? Because I'm not going to be super taxed from the handstand push-up.
Your best mile is going to be what, like 6:30?
Yeah, so let's say 6:30. I think it's past.
And I'm really going to want to win.
Yeah, you are. So you're going to run like a 5:15, probably something like that. 5:20.
I'm going to say it's probably going to have to be maybe 30.
That's the number I had in my head too.
30 handstand pushups.
30 strict deficit handstand pushups.
Because I could probably get the first, 8 or 10. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I'm probably going to be going down to like 3s and 4s.
Right. But you'll be cycling pretty fast. You'll be down and up, down and up.
I don't know, man. When I go on that.
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe we should try it.
Yeah. You know what would be maybe better? This might be, I don't know if this would give you the advantage. I think it would give you more of an advantage is we ran the mile first. and then had to come in and do the 30 strict handstand pushups. Because you'd want to push it more on the run. I would try to as well. But you'd probably recover better on the run for your handstand pushups, and I would recover poorly from my run.
I think that would be your advantage.
You think it would be my advantage?
I think it would be better for doing you to the do weakness, them afterwards.
Right, doing the weakness, your weakness, after afterwards. Any amount of work
right.
would put you at a disadvantage.
Yeah, because I think that you could come in and do those handstand pushups no matter how tired you are.
Right.
Like, it's not going to affect you. But for me, now I'm going to be loose in the middle, not quite so strong.
That's true.
I think about you when I do these handstand pushups strict. I'm trying to think, why does Ben just looks so light when he does it? Like, his head is really neutral and his elbows are snapping out, and I try to be like that, and
right,
it doesn't always work.
I think about you when I run, and it actually makes me want to stop and start walking because I'm never going to be that good.
Gosh, why does Blair's head look so light when he runs?
It's because it is. It is half the size of mine. All right, guys, that's all the time we have, but we want you guys to follow us on our Instagram at BTB Podcast. We also want you guys to go on, and we've never asked you guys to do this before, but we want you guys to go on and rate our podcast on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating or a 2-thumbs-up rating or a 10-point rating, whatever scale iTunes uses in your country. We want you guys to give us the best, all right? So I think that's a B. In high school, the highest grade that you could get was a B because I got all Bs.
And that's right.
So,
you were at the top of the class.
Yeah, I was at the top
that,
of the class.
Right?
So give us all Bs, and that would be really helpful. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.